Isle Football Podcast. I'm Will Brinson, Ryan Wilson with me as always. It is another day closer to the NFL season, but it's not a very good day for Von Miller. We'll talk about his suspension. We're actually recording this before Hard Knocks, so we won't talk about Hard Knocks, and I've got to be out of town for the rest of the week, so this may be the last podcast you'll get this week, but it'll be super awesome. Right, Ryan?
I just want to start by saying one thing.
Sure.
A couple things, not just one thing.
Okay. I'll put down my mic and drink some beer. Go ahead.
Yeah, put your feet up. So I was walking my dog today, which I do two or three times a week. So I'm a good dog owner. In the same neighborhood I've walked him in for 4 years. 20 yards past my house, I get nailed in the back with a water balloon by some jabalonies, high school kids, no doubt. And first of all, I had no idea what happened. Because when you get hit in the back with a water balloon that's traveling 20 miles an hour, you think you get hit in the back with like a meteor or something.
Sure.
So my initial reaction was like do this crazy kind of half jerk, thinking like, what the hell just happened to me? While the car was by full of laughing teenagers. And I turn around and look at the back of my pants, and they're soaking wet. So the upside is I wasn't hurt. Upside part two is I get to walk the rest of the way looking like I took a crap in my pants. It's like 4:30 in the afternoon. So that's how my afternoon started. I told you before the podcast, I was like mad for 8 seconds. And I was thinking of all these things I should have done, which is what you always do when you get embarrassed in public.
Sure. Yeah.
Then I was like, you know what? This is me 20 years ago, once a weekend. And this is just me getting paid back. This is karma paying me back. And, you know,
I think you're lucky you just got hit with a water balloon.
Yeah, no, I told you. I said it was literally water. It wasn't like, you know, urine or paint.
Yeah. No, I meant like they're not like hitting you with like a slingshot or something.
That's right. Rock. Like a
real or like just there. Pulling over and beating the crap out of you. Like, hey, yeah, old man.
Right. I literally am the old man they're terrorizing. And let me say for the record, my dog, 4-year-old yellow lab Gabe, useless. Just sat there looking at me. Didn't do anything.
and did whatever a dog version of a laugh is. But yeah. By the way, I had a guy, and not to derail this into the like the complaint department or anything, but I was trying to park to go to the gym last Thursday, and they had this music fest in North Hills, a section of the outdoor mall where our gym is, and I'm getting ready to take a left, and I see this, you know, waiting on one car to go past, and following this guy who's left the gym is going to go get his car. I see this car like back up, do a really fast 3-point stance and come flying towards me, dart in front of me before I could take a left. And I turned around, I was like honk and rolled out the window. I'm like, dude, you can't cut me off. He goes, I just did, suck it. And then parks and takes the spot. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Oh my, yeah, that's awful. You know,
I hope he's a pick six or a Iowa football listener.
Right. Yeah, if you want to get someone fired up about the downfall of humanity, just tweet Pete Prisco. what's going on in the world, and he will just go off. Because Pete has a gruff exterior, but he's actually a genuinely nice person. And you know, at the very least, he's considerate of other people when he's not talking about football or Tim Tebow at the very least.
Except for the part, now if somebody leans their seat back on an airplane, he kicks it until they spits it up.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Airplane etiquette has gone absolutely, literally out the window.
It's gone.
I've actually, I'll tell this complaint and then we'll get on with this. I think people like hearing me complain. I don't fly very often, 2 or 3 times a year, but the one time I did fly, you know, whenever you have to fly, you have to make a connection. And whenever you have to make a connection, it's always on the exact opposite side of the airport.
Sure.
With like 20 minutes to go. So you're always running, sweating, and all that stuff. So I'm in seat 48 at the back of this plane. I got to get out. And I'm in the aisle. And the two people next to me in the window have to get out too.
Right.
So when everyone stands up in the back of the plane, you're going to wait there for 10 minutes because, you know, everyone's got to get off. So these two numbnuts sitting next to me literally push me over to get to stand in the aisle.
Oh, to wait into the aisle. God, they're the worst. And the worst are the people who come scrambling like up from the back and then like,
oh,
it's like, just wait, man. You're not going anywhere. Nobody else.
We're not going. That's right.
I agree.
So anyway,
I own complainers podcast here.
Our complaints aside, it wasn't as bad a day for us as it was for your boy, Von Miller.
That's right. Von Miller had a no good, crappy day. He's been suspended 6 games on Tuesday by the NFL for failing to. He didn't really fail
the first test.
So he was on. He was in like stage 2 of the drug prevention or the substance abuse program or whatever. And he's the reports out there. Various reports. Don't need to get so specific. We stick him to one person that that he, you know, had his test, took the first test, knocked it over by accident. Then
that's a straight out of Fletch move.
Right, yeah, this is like the worst way to get out of a drug test ever. And then couldn't produce like, and then like went to practice and was seen chugging a bunch of water at practice. Which, I mean, obviously he's trying to circumvent the drug test, but staying hydrated.
The little water hose they have like at training camp practice for these guys. He's doing keg stands with that thing.
That's right. He's just he's like shotgunning like Gatorades and stuff. So he's getting hydrated and all that, and then couldn't produce the second test. So the NFL basically, what it boils down to is they take trying to manipulate the drug prevention or the substance abuse prevention program more seriously than they do than actually preventing substances. Because if you try to do this, and I guess I kind of understand it because, you know, look, if you're a guy who goes out there and does this, like if they didn't come down on guys who do this, then everybody would do it. You know what I mean? Yeah, like everybody would punch the tester and like run out of the room because they knew they were going to fail.
Right. I mean, it might have been 7 or 8 years ago now that we had the Wizinator.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, you can't blatantly just show up with a fake bag of a fake pee in someone else's pee. But, that's, you know.
Sir, your 42-inch plastic wiener is showing.
Right. Weird.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't judge. Anyway, so.
I forgot about that.
So, gone from water balloons to fake penis.
Yeah. So Von Miller got suspended, and it's not good news for the Broncos, especially considering, you know, they lost Derek Wolfe. They say he's getting better, and they haven't listed a prognosis, but he had a spine injury. I can't imagine he plays again this year. Champ Bailey has a reportedly serious foot strain, so he's going to miss several weeks, maybe a couple games. Stuart Bradley is out. I think he had surgery. And there's one more defensive player who's really good. Elvis Dumervil. Yeah, they forgot to sign a fax paper. Interestingly, too, John Elway said that when they found out about Von Miller, Dumervil was already gone. They first found out about Von Miller in May. And so you have to think, you know, at the point in time that they found out about Von Miller, they're like, you know, crap times 100. We would have paid whatever was necessary to make sure Elvis stuck around.
Well, here's the kind of shade for it. Know this, if the front office wasn't drunk the whole summer, maybe they would have known.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that Von Miller was in trouble and they probably should re-sign Dumervil instead of, you know, having his agent monkey around with the fax machine.
But a couple things spring to mind when we have to, besides making fun of the front office for being drunk, which is a fair point. First of all, the immediate football problem for the Denver Broncos, that's number one. Mm-hmm. And secondly, what happens long term? First, you know, you look at these games. Our boss Eric King, who's not going to listen to this podcast for, you know, we assume because we keep talking about him and he doesn't mention it. You know what I mean? Like you think he would mention that if we talked about him. Right. So anyway, EK, I said I would write something on how the Broncos are going to be fine, just fine without Von Miller, and he's like, "That's obvious, right? Is it obvious? I don't think it is obvious."
Yeah, you said that last week before when the reports came down that it might be 4 or 6 games, and I was like, well, let me see. So let's look at the schedule. They open it with Baltimore on that national game.
Yeah,
and I think they'll lose that game.
That's a loss. Elvis Dumervil is going to have 15 sacks. I mean, I think it'll be a close game because I mean, even without Von Miller, I mean, they can still do some damage on Joe Flacco. You know?
No, they can't. And that's right. And Von Miller's just one person. Let's look. Don't forget, not last year, but the year before, Von Miller fell off at the end of the year. He had a hand injury, but you know that
last year, I mean, he was second place in defensive player of the year. He was outstanding.
Yeah, but I'm saying 2 years ago when he sort of added the once he got hurt and kind of his productivity.
Yeah, rookie season, sure.
The Broncos still did well, quote unquote, relatively speaking, in the AFC West. They won the division, and that was Tim Tebow's last year there when they went 8-8 beat the Steelers in the playoffs. But my point is you can win without Von Miller. That said, you'd like to have Von Miller when you're playing the Ravens, number one.
Let's say they're playing the defending champions who are already pissed off that they're opening away from Baltimore. I mean, you're pissed off. You've got everybody's talking about.
I heard the Broncos are going to be wearing Orioles uniforms.
that actually would be awesome if they wore Orioles orange. Which they probably might do because they're the home team. It's their prerogative. So you have the Ravens who are pissed off. You have Elvis Dumervil, who's really pissed off. And, I mean, the Ravens, nobody's been talking about the Ravens. Nobody's been giving them credit. Everybody, you know, says they're done. They lost all these crappy old veterans. So I think there's some motivation for Baltimore to come out and really show up Denver. Denver's been the prohibitive favorite, especially in the AFC most of the year. Baltimore not getting that same amount of credit. I'm penciling in a loss for the Broncos there. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, okay, that could have happened anyway. So game two, they play the New York football Giants, who are captained in Manning Bowl. Now,
right, in New York.
It's at New York. So I think you favor the Giants. But Peyton, Eli, this could go either way. I mean, it's New York will be favored by a point and a half to 3 points, right?
Yeah. And the Giants haven't – I know we don't put a lot of stock in the preseason, but they haven't looked great in the preseason.
They've looked like crap.
Yeah. So, I mean, this could be the 97 Giants that we saw last year. This could be the team
– or the 97 Giants we saw the year before. I mean
– Right, yeah. I mean, they got hot late.
Yeah. Well, Eli Manning's going to show up because he's playing Peyton. He shows up pretty well in those Manning Bowls, I believe. Victor Cruz should be healthier by then. That could be a problem. But Akeem Nicks is back. Yeah. David Wilson, Andre Brown running well. I think they'll be able to score on Denver.
By the way, worth noting, Von Miller's replacement, it looks like, will be Sean Phillips, who was good about 6 years ago in San Diego.
That's right. Well, Sean Phillips is supposed to be Elvis Dumervil's replacement.
Wait.
No, right? But my point is, they lost Dumervil, they signed Phillips.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, right. I mean, so it's doubly bad in that sense. But yeah, so let's say we pencil them in for a loss against the Giants, 0-2 to start.
Okay, and I could go either way in that Giants game.
Sure,
but fair enough.
So that's not a good hole. They didn't start out that well last year. By the by,
well, they beat the Steelers to start. I remember that vividly.
Yeah, but remember they lost the Falcons and they
got smoked in that game. Remember Payne had three interceptions the first half. Maybe?
No, it looked like they were. I mean, remember they everybody forgets this, but the Broncos were not having a great year to start off. I mean, like, people were concerned originally because the Broncos started so slow. They beat Pittsburgh, looked good, then lost to the Falcons, lost to the Texans, beat the Raiders, lost to the Patriots, and they were down 24-0 or 24-7 to the Chargers at halftime. And then that's when
their season turned. Yeah.
They didn't lose another game after that.
Because they got dominated in that Patriots game, too.
Bad, yeah. 31-21. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to downplay the Broncos. I'm just saying they were 1-2, and then they were 2-3 last year, and looked to be going to 2-4 heading into the bye. And all of a sudden things flipped around. Next thing you know, wham bam, thank you, ma'am. You wake up, you're 13-3, pregnant, no kids, don't know what's going on. You know. Anyway, so
week three, they host the Raiders.
I mean, that's a W.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wait. This is an 8:40 game. What day is it? Is that a Monday night game?
Yeah, they got to throw the Raiders on some primetime game. Might as well spice it up with Peyton.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so that's 1-2, and then the next week they host the Eagles.
They host the Eagles or go to Philly?
They host them.
Okay, yeah. So I think that's 2-2.
Yeah, you know, that'll actually be an interesting game, at least from where we're sitting now, because Mike Vick has been named a starter. We'll talk about that in a sec. And he's looked good in that offense, man. I mean, again, vanilla defense preseason, not other.
I think no. Philly will put up points. It'll be a high scoring game, but the Broncos will stop them enough. Philly can't stop the Broncos.
You know what else? Another storyline that I don't know if anyone will be talking about now. Anyway, you can't run that no huddle up.
Oh, good point.
So that's something to think about. Unless they're going to have them on oxygen masks or something.
Well, now Peyton runs no huddle, but I mean,
yeah, but you're acclimated to it when you're there all the time. You can't just kind of show up and be
that's,
like,
that's true. Good point. Time. That's awesome. A really good point. It's a shame you made it on the podcast.
I know.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So let's give that to the. We'll give that to the Broncos.
It's at home. So 2-2.
At Dallas.
Now I think that this is less of a coin flip than the Giants game.
You think it's all Dallas?
No, I think it's all Denver.
Oh yeah. See, you just never know which Tony Romo is going to show. And I shouldn't say that. Which Dallas team? Because I actually like Tony Romo. Yeah. You never know which Dallas team.
I guess here's what I'm saying is I think they win one of the Giants Cowboys games.
No, I'll give you that. That's fine.
Okay, so if you give them the loss to the Giants, they beat the Cowboys.
They're 3-2 now.
3-2, and then October 13th they get the Jaguars at home. Now Bill Barnwell made a really good point. He said
of Grantland
of Grantland.com. He said you cannot. and he wasn't, he might have been subtweeting me, I don't know, but he said you can't go out there and just hand wins to teams just because you think they're going to win. He's like, if you do exhibit A, I'd like to point you to the Cardinals and the Patriots last year.
No, fair enough. You can pick any game and say, see, this isn't going to work out like you hope, but we can't just stare at the schedule and not say anything. I mean, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and you certainly can't be stupid enough to predict the Raiders will beat the Broncos.
I can't believe I'm going to give you props here. 2 years ago, you predicted the Seahawks would beat the Ravens, and everybody called you an idiot. It upset me.
It was last year, I think. Was it last year or 2 years?
No, it was 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're at Seattle, and the Seahawks weren't good then. That was before Russell Romania took over. That was just with Tavares Jackson, maybe? Was he the quarterback then? Oh, God. And look, it happened. So, yeah, these games happen, but, you know, you play this game 1,000 times. There's no way that Denver's losing to Jacksonville more than twice. Yeah.
And I think the other thing to look at is, you know, this is a team with Peyton Manning on it. It matters. I mean, I'm sorry, it does.
Yeah.
Tavares Jackson, by the way, 17-27, 217 yards in that game.
Hausch, I believe, hit 4 field goals. Is that right? I can't believe I remember that.
I think it was it 5? I feel like it was 5. 5. It was 5. Yeah. 5 of 5. Yeah.
Embarrassed.
Joe Flacco, 29-52 for 250.
Oh, that's right.
For 250.
Ray Rice is upset. That's when.
That's right. That 5 rushing attempts, 27 yards. Oh, Jim. Cam Cameron.
Cam Cameron, yeah.
Anyway, so. Look,
so you convinced me. They can go 4-2. I mean, you're in the West. You could go 3-0.
And that's my other point is even if the Chiefs are good, and I think the Chiefs will be okay, even if the Chiefs are good, better than everybody expects, then the Broncos are still out. Like, worst case, they're 3-3, and they're just in the mix with the Chiefs. And they get to play the Chiefs twice, the Raiders once more, and the Chargers twice when they get Von Miller. They will have plenty of separation. Now, where this does matter.
Well, let me interrupt you quickly. Worst case, I think they're 2-4. They only beat Oakland and Jacksonville. They could lose other games by flukes or whatever.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, the point still remains. Go ahead.
I mean, hell, even if they're 1-5, they're still in the division. You know?
That's how the Chargers started every year under North Turner, and they would always come back at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the Broncos were 2-4, about to go to 2-4 and end up 13-3.
Thanks, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I mean, but what I'm saying is, it just doesn't. You know, it's a nightmare. It's a bad look for Von Miller. People are going to question him. The media attention is going to be a pain in the butt. But I think Von Miller's fine. He'll come back. He will put up big numbers, and the Broncos will eventually win that division. Any other division, and you're very worried. Except maybe the AFC South.
Right. Well, the Texans. But, yeah.
Yeah. Not. And that's the three things for me. So, I don't think it's an obvious point, but the Broncos are fine because they have Peyton Manning. They have an easy schedule for those 6 games, and they have a really crappy division. I mean, if you're going to lose your second best player and your best defensive player and one of the 5 best defensive players in the NFL, this is a really good time to lose him.
Yeah, no, that's right. You go 3-3, 2-4, or absolute worst case scenario, and you still cruise to the division title.
Now, as I was saying, it does matter because you don't want to, you know, look, you don't want to lose home field advantage in the playoffs. You don't want to lose the bye, and they could lose that because of this. But I really don't think the AFC is going to end up being that top heavy. I think it's just kind of crappy.
I don't disagree. I mean, listen, man, I've been watching 2 weeks of Steelers football. I've never been more depressed.
All right, let's talk about the Steelers because they played on Monday night. They
give me your impressions because you were kind of. I'm sure you were half watching. No one in their right mind would have paid attention to every snap of that.
Yeah, I was half watching.
Give me your half watching impression.
I mean, I'm concerned about Le'Veon Bell because he left after 5 carries. I mean, this guy's supposed to be
4 carries.
All right.
Well, here's the thing. Eddie Bichette from the Pittsburgh Post Gazette tweeted on Tuesday night that it's a midfoot sprain, but it's not as serious as the Lisfranc injury suffered by tight end Matt Spaeth, who's going to be out 8 to 10 weeks. So he'll probably miss some time to start the season. What's going on with all these people getting these Lisfranc injuries all of a sudden? It's like it's going around like, you know, poison ivy.
I'm not sure. Lisfranc's herpes or whatever?
Yeah, wherever it came from, that's right.
I think it's just something that like people have done, you know, now it's not like a major foot sprain. Like you say Lisfranc and it sticks with you.
Yeah, that's right. Before they just taped it up and said you had a sprained ankle and get back out.
But yeah, I mean, Ben looked fine. He made plays with his legs. He almost got killed a few times. I thought he blew out his knee once, and he was just totally unfazed. Landry Jones was a little surprising in a good way.
Yeah.
Jonathan Dwyer ran the ball okay, right? I mean, kind of okay.
Yeah, no, he did. He did a great
Marcus
job.
Marcus Wheaton is a very nice surprise, or not surprise. He's, maybe he's just a very good draft pick.
Yeah, no, he's played well in his strong camp. This is what Steelers fans are saying Monday night into Tuesday morning. This offensive line is a GD wreck. New offensive line coach, some blocking guy, Jack McNeil, and you have young guys in the offensive line, and they still can't block. The hope was that Marquise Pouncey and Michael Adams and David DeCastro and Marcus Gilbert.
Yeah.
They've all, to varying degrees, struggled against the Redskins. Pouncey was getting owned by Barry Cofield until he broke his hand.
Yeah.
Which isn't good for Cofield, but it was great for Marcus Pouncey. So, the offensive line is an issue.
Roethlisberger threw that pick six to Kerrigan.
That was a great play by Kerrigan. You can't really do anything. So I think the defense is less of a concern, which is, that's a good thing. But you still got to be able to score points. One thing, let me ask you this, because this is another thing.
And by the way, just on the offensive line, it is a major concern because you have two second-round picks and two first-round picks in the past 3 years invested in that offense. I mean, like, they've been pumping resources into the offensive line to try and keep Big Ben upright, try to let Ben, not get his, face killed every damn game. And like he's, I mean, maybe they'll just take some time to gel. I mean, they've made a lot of changes offensively.
Yeah. A couple things about that, and I want to get your thoughts on this. So Todd Haley, actually Ben Roethlisberger said this, but I'm assuming it came from Todd Haley. The plan against the Redskins was to work on the running game. And that's what they did. It didn't work, but at least they tried it. I think that has something to do with sort of how a lot of the breakdowns, it doesn't account for the penalties and turnovers, but whatever. Also, what some Steelers fans I've heard say Tuesday after the fact when they had enough. What do you think about this? Todd Haley is killing the Steelers. They should have kept Bruce Arians.
Yeah, they should have kept Bruce Arians.
Here's the thing. Here's my response.
Do you disagree? Or?
I like Bruce Arians. I like what he did. But here's my response to that. First of all, he had no qualms about getting Ben Roethlisberger killed on 14 sub drops.
He had no problem. He had no qualms about getting Andrew Luck killed last year.
There are payoffs, but there's also the risk of you getting your quarterback killed.
Sure.
But what I will say about Todd Haley is that the Steelers were 6-3 when they lost that, when they beat the Chiefs that Monday night game and Roethlisberger got hurt. Up to that point, he had taken the fewest hits at any point in his career through nine games. And he was playing, he had an MVP season up there if you look through nine games.
No, I made that statement as well.
So I don't think Todd Haley's a problem. I think it's a simple matter of execution or lack thereof. Roethlisberger looked fine, like you said, but if you're not blocking and you're not running, that creates all sorts of other issues that transcend what the offensive coordinator's trying to do.
Well, I mean, you have a major problem when the early round pick you invested in a running back is out. I mean, they don't have any talent in the running game.
Well, here's the thing. Dwyer and Redman, and they signed Lerod Stevens-Howling. You can get by with with average running backs.
Yeah, but that's like a list of like below average running backs.
Yeah, no, that's right. So, but you have Ben Roethlisberger. So
why don't they sign Michael Turner?
Oh, come on, Pete Prisco, are you serious?
I mean, is he that much worse than Isaac Redman?
I guarantee you, he wouldn't outrun anyone on the offensive line, and that includes Ramon Foster.
But then he could block. He could play left. He could play left guard.
Guys that can block. I mean, they got fullbacks that can block. They don't have any offensive linemen that can block. But anyway, so let's enough about the Steelers. What do you think about
Kirk Cousins? Rex Grossman actually looked good. Kirk Cousins. How come nobody's complaining that Kirk Cousins doesn't slide?
What about this? Yeah, I'm saying
RG3, the mobile quarterback. Everybody's like, God, what do you mean? You got to slide. You got to learn. You got to be more mature. Cousins.
That's a good point. And the weird, he slid early on the play before, actually, when he scrambled for 7 yards. And then on the 2nd and 3, when he scrambled, tried to run out of bounds. It's kind of weird for a quarterback to slide going out of bounds. I've never seen it, and it's probably one of those things where people make fun of you for doing it. But at the end of the day, he almost broke his foot, so maybe he should slide going out of bounds. No, I take your point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough – just do whatever you got to do in the preseason not to get hurt. That's all.
That's
why don't people get that? Like, you're just trying to survive.
And there have been a lot of injuries. I don't know. We probably say this every year, but it seems like the injuries are out of control, and this is going to be the thing that Robbie Goodell is going to beat over our heads and the fans' heads about why we need this 18-game season. And I'd be fine with reducing it to a 2-game preseason.
Sure.
But I don't see how you can – how anyone, any in the 32 teams can withstand 18 regular season games.
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, hey, DJ Swearinger, just don't blow up anybody's knee, man. Like,
we talked about that.
It's the preseason, though. Just don't blow up his knee.
These guys are rookies. They're trying to. I mean, he's made the team, but these young guys are trying to make teams. There was a couple hard hits in that game last night by rookies.
Sure. No, I mean, look, you're out there. Yeah, you're out there playing. You're trying. I don't disagree. Yeah. On the Redskins, though, Pat White sucks. Roy Helu had two.
You didn't watch the second half. He actually ran. He did a pretty good impression of Robert.
Yeah, I know.
He's RG3, but he's not going to make the team.
No. He's just there to be Vic, baby Vic. Roy Helu, two carries, 60 yards, two touchdowns. That's not bad.
Yeah, he had a nice little touchdown run. Hankerson made a great catch in the first half.
Yeah, he was so casual.
Yeah, I wish he'd do that during the season. I'm sure Redskins fans are saying that.
Yeah.
Aldrick Robinson had a nice down-the-field catch. He got hurt. So, again, we're going back to the injuries.
Kirk Cousins or RG3 running this offense, they're going to put up points. They're going to run the ball well. That's what Mike Shanahan's teams do.
Yep.
They're read option or not, they're going to put up points. Robert Griffin III can throw it deep. If he has Garcon, Moss, Hankerson/Robinson, Morgan, Fred Davis, you got Jordan Reed at tight end, Paulson. I mean, they got weapons. They're going to put up points.
What do you think about this? ESPN analyst and former NFL head coach Sean Gruden saying he would give up a first-round pick for Kirk Cousins.
I said a few weeks ago that when Griffin was like, he's not going to play the preseason, I was like, it's brilliant because you're going to showcase Kirk Cousins. You're going to convince somebody they have to give you a pick for him. You're going to get a second rounder for him, just like Mike Shanahan planned when he drafted him in the fourth round. And I was wrong on that. I thought it was stupid. It's going to turn out great for him. He might backdoor a first one. I do think, though, that there's some, you know, like, and yeah, it's Gruden who said it, but Schefter tweeted it, and Schefter's wrote a biography of Shanahan. So it's a little thigh rubbing there, I guess, is what I'm saying. But I wouldn't give up a first round pick. No.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I would accept a first round pick, but if I was Mike, but if I was Mike Shanahan, I wouldn't take that first round pick right now.
No, I can't imagine a team would do that right now.
First of all, the other team isn't going to do that because they got 2 weeks to get it done. Like, what are you going to plug Kirk Cousins into your offense and see how that works? There's everybody else is kind of set at quarterback, right? I mean, who is there anybody that?
No, I mean, listen, yeah, Matt Flynn and the Raiders aren't even doing this deal right now, so.
Right, exactly.
That's something for the offseason.
I'm pretty sure Reggie McKenzie will never trade a first round pick for a quarterback.
Right.
After that Carson Palmer deal. But yeah, next offseason, maybe you get something done. But if you're Mike Shanahan, you don't want to do it now because
you need him.
You might need him. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't want to say it won't happen, but a first round pick, man, that's awfully steep. And you know, we were talking about Matt Flynn a couple years ago,
but here,
getting all this money.
But now here's the problem. If in order to give up a first round pick to get Kirk Cousins, and this is why it won't be a first round pick, is that the only team that would give up a first round pick to get Kirk Cousins is a stupid, terrible team without a quarterback. And if you're a stupid, terrible team without a quarterback, your first-round pick's going to be in the top 10, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, unless you're so risk-averse that you want to take a guy you've seen.
No, but I mean, like, at that point, you call Mike Shanahan and say, hey, Mike, interested in Kirk. You know, what are you looking for? He's like, well, I want a first-round pick. You're like, well, we have number 9 overall. So how about instead you can go blank yourself, and I'll give you number, I guess it would be 41 overall. And then Shanahan comes back, and you end up giving him a fourth, you know, a second and a fourth for Cousins or something like that.
God, that's a lot.
It's way too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is something to it. Like Shanahan's, you know, he'll have spent 2 years, you know, kind of grooming him, turning him into a quarterback that we have seen work. I am of the opinion that you should never, ever, ever trade for a quarterback, somebody else's backup quarterback. I mean, it's worked twice ever.
Who are the – I was actually trying to think. Who are they?
Matt Hasselbeck to Seattle.
Okay.
That worked.
Yeah.
And Matt Schaub to Houston.
Yeah. You could actually sort of argue Kurt Warner, who was with the Packers before he got cut.
You could also argue Brett Favre, but I mean
– yeah, that was 1 year. So that's one of those things where Yeah, no, but that's right.
What was the Favre trade for? Was he for a – it wasn't a first rounder, right? It was like a third rounder?
He was drafted in the second or third round. I'm not sure what he gave up.
He might have actually been a first rounder.
No, I think he was a second or third rounder.
No, I'm saying, like, what did they trade to get him?
Oh, that I don't know. I'm sure Wikipedia would know.
I'm Wikipedia-ing the hell out of it right now. Yes, he was a first round pick, 19th overall, in fact.
Wait, when he was drafted?
No. Oh, Ron Wolf gave up a first round pick for Brett Favre. But Favre was taken 33rd overall. So I mean, like, you're swapping 14 spots. That's actually, you know, that's basically the same thing.
That's fine, especially a year later. So you're kind of interest on that pick.
And who was Favre backing up then?
Oh my gosh, 91 is when he was drafted.
Atlanta coach Jerry Glanville did not approve of the drafting of Favre, saying it would take a plane crash for him to put Favre into the game. okay, so I mean, like, that's not even – see, that's not even trading for somebody's backup. That's the team who owns him is not going to play him and doesn't like him and wants to get rid of him, and you're willing to give him a first-round pick for him. The thing we're talking about is – you know, another team has a backup sitting there. They can't play him, you know, because like the Jay Cutler thing doesn't count. Like that was a good trade for a quarterback. But you see, like Kevin Cobb, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn wouldn't trade it. Cobb, Donovan McNabb, AJ Feely.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, I mean it just didn't work out for you.
No, that's right. That's a fair point. I think it's. There's nothing wrong with if you're comfortable with a quarterback in the draft, taking that quarterback in the draft, and whatever happens, happens.
Well, I mean, this day and age, like, we're seeing guys get taken in the second round. I mean, Kaepernick, Dalton, you know, Russell Wilson going to the third. Use that pick and invest in something. I mean, you trade for that. Plus, like, let's say you give up a second-round pick for Ryan Mallett or Kirk Cousins or whoever. Those dudes are already 2 years in, which means you've lost 2 years of cheap labor. It's stupid.
No, that's right. Yep. Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of cheap labor or not cheap labor, that was a terrible segue. Michael Vick, I got nothing. All right, here's a better one. The Redskins are playing the Eagles in the opener. And speaking of the Eagles, Michael Vick was named the starter for the Eagles. No surprise, Vick has looked great in the preseason. Chip Kelly has been quite coy about who his starter will be. Didn't want to, and I think it's okay. Now, this is kind of hypocritical of me because I think the whole Brandon Weeden, Josh Campbell thing is just stupid. But
yeah, that was just a waste of time.
It's so annoying. But with the Vic Foles thing, I kind of respect it in that Vic is such a lightning rod and is so capable of, like, doing something stupid on the football field. If you're Chip Kelly, why force the issue when you take all the time you want? Why force the issue on picking your quarterback without, you know, the proper time to do your due diligence and make sure you do the right, you know, make the right choice?
I think he's done. He feels like he's probably done his due diligence. He's seen.
Well, at this point, he has, because that's why he made the call.
Yeah, and there were reports that Foles, I mean, we saw Foles. Did they play the Panthers last in week 2 of the preseason?
Yes.
Is that who they played? Yeah. So watch the first half of that game, and Foles looked good. Vic looked better. Foles forced the ball into the end zone that was intercepted. And one of the reports after the game was that one of Foles' issues was that he was playing too safe, quote. So, you know, Vic looked as loose and as comfortable as I've ever seen him.
Loves the game again.
He absolutely loves it. He fell in love with the game, and they're getting married.
I mean, like, I don't see how he fell out of love after being in prison.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, I guess taking all those hits and almost dying may have had something to do with that.
Yeah, but fair enough.
I think that, you know, this could actually be pretty fun to watch. The defense still looks pretty awful.
Sure.
But if this team is really going to be as up-tempo as we think they are in the confines of what the NFL officials will allow, these old-timers who can spot the ball quickly enough.
Right.
It could be fun to watch the Denver game at altitude aside. So, if nothing else, at least we're not talking about Juan Castillo, you know, now coaching defense after serving time as an offensive coordinator.
No, you're right. I think the Eagles are going to be a blast to watch. They're gonna score a bunch of points on offense. I think, this would be a crazy, bold prediction, but I think there's a reasonable chance that Michael Vick could play all 16 games this year. Go ahead.
Nick Foles is another guy that has been mentioned as a possible trade candidate. And
oh, so that was going to be my question to you.
Yeah.
Would you trade Nick Foles if you were Chip Kelly?
No, you don't trade him now. I don't even know. Oh, Dennis Dixon, and there's – I'm not sure who's ahead of Dennis Dixon on the depth chart. I can't remember who number three is. I'm sure I'll look that up. But I don't know if there's a market for quarterbacks now.
Unless Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley.
Oh, Matt. Sorry. All right, Matt Barkley. Oh, okay. Well, that actually makes it a lot easier. I just don't think – well, you know, because that's Chip's guy. He drafted Brown. He likes him. He beat Oregon a bunch of times. But I don't know if now if there's much of a market for quarterbacks right now. Just because, you know, as you mentioned, we're 2 weeks away from the season and what's going to happen. You draft this guy, second-round pick for Nick Foles, for example, and then he has to sit on the bench for a month. I mean, look, remember what happened when they drafted Carson Palmer? I mean, when the Raiders traded for Carson Palmer, he sat on the bench for a week and a half.
It was a trainer. Yeah, now that's interesting, actually, with the bump back trade deadline. Would somebody, like say the Bears, be willing to give up a second-round pick if Jay Cutler goes down and they're in – you know, playoff contention, you give up Nick Foles or Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean? Like, that's a...
Well, but I mean...
I don't think Phil Emery would do that. What I'm saying is no team...
No, that's right. This is, in general, if there's a situation... If you're that... I guess if you're that desperate and you think it's your last opportunity to...
But I mean, that's why you went out and signed whoever you got as your backup. Or that or you're stupid. And, it became clear. I'm 90% sure that Andy Reid admitted it, but he didn't admit. He didn't say I tried to trade for Nick Foles, but he said the Eagles are not trading Nick Foles, which means I tried to trade for Nick Foles.
No, that's right.
And by the way, could he have had two? Could they have gotten two second round picks for Nick Foles? Because they should have done that if they could have.
Yeah. No. Maybe Andy Reid didn't care at that point because he knew he was getting fired, so he wasn't in it.
No. I'm talking about when Andy Reid took over the Chiefs. Andy Reid said...
He said
the Eagles were not... He said, I couldn't... He basically said, I tried to trade... Because Nick Foles was his guy. He tried to trade to get Nick Foles to Kansas City. It wasn't happening. Like, we all thought it might. And then he goes on and gives up two second-round picks for Alex Smith. If I'm Chip Kelly and he called me and be like, hey, I'll give you two second-round picks...
Oh, yeah. You definitely do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, my point is nobody – the Eagles aren't really interested in giving up Nick Foles. They might only have one more year left of Vic. You know, he's $3.5 million. He's older. He's not guaranteed to work. They may – you know, they drafted Barkley. Who knows? I don't think it's quite time. You don't give up on Nick Foles, especially Vic hadn't been healthy. You don't give up on Nick Foles before the year, and nobody's going to give up that pick right now.
Yeah. The more we're talking about this, though, the more – after watching, I think Vic's having a big year. I can't believe I'm saying this.
I do too.
Well, let me ask you this, because Randy Moss, who's now an analyst for the new Fox Sports Television Enterprise, he was asked about the NFC East, and he said if RG3 is healthy, straight skins, homie. And he picked the Redskins to win the division if RG3 stays healthy. I don't think that's going to happen. Did we talk about this division already? I don't know if we did.
No, like, we should probably preview the NFL at some point.
Yeah, let's just talk quickly about the East since we're talking about the Eagles.
Sure.
Who do you like?
I think if I'm ranking, and this is not really answering your question, but if I'm ranking the NFC East among hardest to predict divisions, just in terms of not toughest to play, but hardest to predict, as in like the NFC West for me is pretty easy to predict where like how the teams will rank out, but it's they're really tough teams.
Who's number one in the West?
Well. Either Seattle or San Francisco. I mean, Seattle and San Francisco would be 1 and 2, and then St. Louis would be 3. And I mean, maybe there'd be a surprise. But the NFC South, NFC South is the hardest division for me to predict. In terms of, I honestly don't know who will win. And then I think the NFC East for me is probably number 2, because you could make a case. I mean, the Skins won it last year. I mean, I think the Skins could win it again. But we were talking about this on the last podcast, and I had totally forgotten about it. They gave up on the season. They were 3-6.
One 7 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, like, so they were done. They were out. The Cowboys, I don't know whether the new defense will work or not. I believe Tony Romo will be better. I think they'll be much better, the Cowboys will, without Jason Garrett calling plays. I think that helps them tremendously.
Yeah, and that's actually not even a knock on Jason Garrett. It's just a...
I mean, like, you can't... I mean, everybody... One man can't do everything.
That's right.
You, I mean, like... 30% of NFL coaching 30% of being the manager of the running anything, being in charge of anything, is delegating responsibility.
That's right. Overseeing what's going on and not having your fingers in everything.
Exactly. Because you've got, I mean, you can't be trying to call plays and figure out what the best move is while also trying to manage substitutions.
Dealing with Rob Ryan and yelling and screaming.
Handle timeouts. You know, and
Jerry Jones yelling and screaming in the
end. Staring at the luxury box, watching this little man with the binoculars like glare back.
While his son-in-law cleans his glass.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I mean, it's. I think that helps the Cowboys.
All right, you're beating around the bush. Give me.
I don't know. If I'm picking the division, I'll go. Washington, Dallas. Oh, God. I see. Washington, Dallas, New York, really? Philly. I don't know. I mean, like. But
I'm going to go.
Are you going to predict the Eagles to win?
No. Just because of the defense. I'm going to go Giants, Philly, Redskins, Cowboys.
But that could totally happen. I think it's a 9-7 situation.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the thing is,
for like the fifth year in a row,
any of these teams could go anywhere between 10-6 and 4-12. I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the season if those teams had any of those records.
No, I don't agree at all. I don't agree at all. I agree completely. I do agree completely. Philly could go, and I tell you what. Like I said, I was high on the Eagles until I started to
watch them.
Well, until I saw their defense. Now you start to look at their defense, and they've got some players.
Like, yeah,
Fletcher Cox. Yeah, I mean, everybody's
Fletcher Cox played well. In the Panthers game, their secondary is spotty. We don't know what Kerry Williams can do. Linebackers are concerned. They can't tackle, which is an overall unit concern. So, you know, the NFC East isn't any place to be not tackling.
No, that's right.
If this hurry-up thing doesn't work early on, this guy's going to be in the field for a long time, the defense.
Yeah, no, I think the defense is going to be a disaster, and people are going to score points on them. They open up at Washington. That's a fascinating game, that first Monday Night Football game.
No, that's right.
In Washington, RG3's first game back, provided nothing goes wrong there. Vic's first full game. There might be 90 points in that game. Well, I mean, Washington's secondary is going to have, you know, unless Josh Wilson and D'Angelo Hall are ready to go.
D'Angelo Hall played Monday night.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, if one of them suffers a setback, Wilson's been hurt. I mean, fine. Either way, against Philly, they're going to see a lot of three receiver options. So David Anderson's going to be out there. Bakari Rambo is playing safety. That's a lot of young guys against Chip Kelly's offense. Chip Kelly's defense stinks. They got San Diego. They should beat San Diego. Now here's where it gets really twicky. Did I just Elmer Fudd that? Here's where it gets really twicky. Their first three games, right, are in the span of 10 days. Chip Kelly's first three games. They go at Washington on September 9th, at home against San Diego on September 15th, and then they welcome Andy Reid and the Chiefs 4 days later. That's not fair.
No, that's right. Four games is actually really ridiculous. 4 days between games is borderline ridiculous.
Three games in 10 days is insanity when you're running that pace.
But you know what? I think this is what happened to the Ravens last year. They did that and they won Super Bowl. So
well, that's all good and well. So, but look, you got those three games. Let's say you come out of there 2-1. That's generous.
Yeah.
Let's say you come out of there 2-1. Then they have a three-game road trip at Denver, at New York, at Tampa Bay. That's brutal.
Yeah, that'll set the tone for the rest of the season.
Right. I mean, I think best case you're coming out of there 3-3. I mean, that's like a great scenario to come out of there 3-3.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this: is there any situation where we see Kirk Cousins, where we see Nick Foles? But injuries aside, now do you think Vic will be fine? Like, there's no.
Do I think it could happen, or do I think it will happen?
If Vic does not get injured, is there any situation where you see Foles replacing him?
Yeah. I mean, if the Eagles are not putting up points and he's making mistakes, and I think Chip Kelly will have a much quicker hook than Andy Reid did.
That's funny you say that. There are a couple reports that said that Vic will have a long leash. I don't know if that was a pun or not. but he will have a long
leash. Yeah, he's like, Chip Kelly won't put the old shock collar on him.
Chip Kelly won't shoot him and throw him in a hole and set him on fire. God. But, yeah, no, I don't, I mean, I'm my point is that I think, and we, I think we both agree that Vic seems like he's set for a good year based on this Chip Kelly offense. I don't think we'll see Nick Foles at all, barring injury.
I don't think so either. No, I don't think we will. I think we could. So you would go, you said you go Giants, Eagles. And see, that's the thing. I don't want to bet against the Giants when they've got, everybody's picking against them. I think Pete, our buddy Pete Prisco says, and Pete's not always right, but he's right about this, that the Giants are really good when their back is against the wall and everybody's counting them out. But then Jason Pierre-Paul isn't going to be ready to start the year. Justin Tuck is older and banged up. Hakeem
but listen,
Nicks,
hey, we saw DeMontre Moore go bonkers.
Yeah, that's great.
Against the Steelers, so who knows what that means?
But Victor Cruz is hurt. Hakeem Nicks is coming back from injury.
But Pete is right, and that's the thing. I mean, this defense looks like crap on paper without JPP and Justin Tuck's banged up. But then they come out and make plays. You don't know half the guys' names who are making these plays, and then have Eli Manning. So that's kind of the starting point for me.
Yeah, I know. I would say all right, if I'm going to put percentages on each team, that they're in the playoffs. I'd put the Redskins at 54%, the Giants at third before, but I'd say 48. I'm going to take the Giants over the Cowboys. Let me flop that. I don't want anything to do with Cowboys over Giants. That's not going to – every year I pick that. It's never going
to
happen.
That's right. Yeah. We picked the Cowboys a couple years ago to win the division.
Yeah. It never happened. So it could happen. Cowboys could be good this year, but it's – so – Brandon Weeden, the Browns. Brandon Weeden won the starting job. Didn't know that there was even a competition going, actually.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't even know if Chudzinski, the head coach, announced it. But today, on Tuesday, he announced that Brandon Weeden's a starter, which is what everyone assumed, including his teammates. So, congratulations to Brandon Weeden.
Yeah, I think it's all right to – I thought it was stupid because no way is Jason Campbell going to play over Brandon Weeden. But I do think there's something to the competition thing, especially if you're a new coach. You don't have your guy. I mean, make him earn it. You're not going to come in and be like, hey, nice to meet you. You've got the job. Go on now.
Well, let me ask you like I asked the big question. Injuries aside, at what point do you see Jason Campbell?
No chance. Zero chance.
So you're telling me in week six the Browns are 0-5 – and Weeden's completing, 47% of his passes and throwing a lot more interceptions than touchdowns. He's still playing?
But that involves, a major regression from last year.
Okay. He's same completion percentage as last year, but they're losing, and he's making mistakes that's costing the team games.
Maybe. I don't know. Jason Campbell, it's not like you got Nick Foles back there. It's not – Foles is the great savior, but you don't have all right, I'll just, this is really stinking. I think if Weeden is sucking that bad and you're 0-6, you're not getting fired if you're Chud, right?
No, he's not. That's right. He's not Pat Shermer.
So keep rolling him out there. Prove to everybody that Weeden needs to be shipped off. And then you can, if he stinks, if it's that bad, then, yeah, maybe they'll go to Jason Campbell. But, if Vic is that bad, they'll go to Nick Foles,
Yeah, Jason Campbell's not a savior. You're not going to get anything from Brandon Weeden if he's playing like crap anyway. So either you'll cut him or get a sixth-round pick for him at the end of the season, and then you'll start over again in Cleveland.
Right, but at least, you play him through the rut, try to get him out of it. He doesn't get it out of there, and you're like, all right, you know what? We got to get a new quarterback. Richard Marshall cut by the Dolphins. Why did they do that? Actually, I know they did. They did it to save $4.5 million. But I'm telling you,
if he wasn't good enough for the Panthers, why would he be good enough for anyone else?
That's a fair point, I suppose. Except the Dolphins aren't. I mean, they have Brent Grimes, and that's it.
It is weird now.
Jamar Taylor, who's the rookie. I'm telling you, man. I got Spidey sense going crazy on the Dolphins. That's
being awful, right?
Yeah, I
agree with you on that. I agree with you.
Are people still on the Dolphins bandwagon? I feel like they are.
Well, the president of the Ion Football Fan Club podcast is.
Who is the president of the Ion Football podcast?
Robert.
Greeble. Yeah. But he's like a Dolphins fan. That's right. Yeah. But he's like a Dolphins fan. He wants me to name my kid Ryan Tannehill Brinson. Little does he know, it's already Russell Wilson Brinson.
But
oddly enough, those are my kid's initials.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. I haven't gotten a national media sense for what the feeling is about the. I haven't heard a lot of positive things about the Dolphins. I haven't heard negative things either, but they're kind of a team that no one's talking about right now. I think mostly because they play in the same division as Patriots, as always.
See, I kind of felt like when the Dolphins had the big off season and people were like, oh, the Bills and the Jets are starting rookie quarterbacks, and Tom Brady's knee injury or not knee injury.
That was around the Aaron Hernandez time, so that was going to be a huge setback, and that was going to be a huge distraction. And then Bill Belichick nipped that in the bud, distracted everyone by signing Tim Tebow, and we've seen Tom Brady play like Tom Brady in the last preseason game. So
have we talked about the Dolphins over under at all? I'm not like trying to like go deep into it. I can't get it to load. I can't remember if we talked about it. I don't want to.
No, we haven't. I think I'm going to guess it's 7.
If I can find it, let's see. Bet on sports.
Maybe it must be higher than that because I think the Chargers are 6.5.
You would think it would be higher than that. Let's see.
NFL. I'll say it's 7.
Football futures. Here we go.
7.5. It can't be 8.
I don't want the stupid odds to win the Super Bowl.
Good man, Lord. By the way, your computer is humming.
All right. Well, we'll stop messing with that then. So, anyway, let me ask
you this. So, Brandon Weeden, blah, blah, blah. What about Geno Smith? He's going to start the Giants preseason game, week 3 for the Jets. No word yet on who the starter will be in the regular season. Any thoughts on who will win that gig eventually, and does it matter?
No. I think Mark Sanchez will eventually win it. It doesn't matter. I think Mark Sanchez will win it. Because we've been talking about the whole sacrificial lamb thing. Sanchez, they're going to give it to Sanchez. Rex is going to get his way. And then eventually they're going to hand it to Geno when Sanchez inevitably stinks. And he will inevitably stink, and the Jets will inevitably be awful.
Let me read a comment from one of our CBS sports.com.
Commentariat?
Readers. This is comparable to competing for a shift manager job at McDonald's. You don't really want the job. And you know when you get it, you'll be the butt of everyone's jokes. So that's what it means to be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
And this is like somebody who just reads sports blogs all day. Shout out to that guy. I love when we find funny comments.
Indy John, best to you, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, good job, Indy John. Look, the Jets job is it's like one of the worst 10 jobs in America.
I saw it listed on Craigslist.
Would you trade your job for Mark Sanchez's job?
No, that takes a beating.
I mean, yes, you would because of the.
He makes $8.25 million this year, and we do not.
Right, and also,
he endures a lot of mental anguish. Not to mention the physical toll he takes, including things
a lot. You think about if Philip Rivers with the Jets quarterback. I mean, my God.
Well, first of all, he couldn't stand all the cursing from Rex Ryan, so I don't know how that would work.
Or Cutler was the you know what I mean? Like there's it's.
I don't know. Would they be good? Would they be better?
Rivers would be like the most hated guy in the country.
Right. Cutler too. Yeah, no, that's right. Because Sanchez actually isn't a hateable guy. He's just kind of a goofy guy who's stuck in an awful situation because he's not very good.
Yeah, and it's for whatever reason. And it probably has to do with Rex's bravado because we didn't care that much about the Jets before Rex, right?
That was a man genius was there before Rex.
I guess we did, yeah. I mean, we just care about the Jets. They're a big market team.
They traded for Brett Favre, so that was a big thing.
Yeah, that's right. Never mind. I'm an idiot.
Playoffs and man genius his first year.
That's right. Yeah, and man genius stabbed Belichick in the back. Okay, I'm probably wrong on this too, but didn't. I feel like we just didn't care. Like the Jets were not nearly
as much. That's right, because there wasn't as much smack talking from the head coach. Herm Edwards would say awesome things at press conferences, but it wasn't like in your face, kiss. I'm not going to kiss your rings type of nonsense.
Yeah, and then back in the day, when Parcells was running him and Belichick spurned him. I mean, they're always in the press. They're always in the the press. And obviously, if you really want to go way back, Namath. But I mean, for the most part, the Jets are not. The Jets have become
a laughingstock.
Right, but they run their mouths and talk so much smack, and yet they're so terrible.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the kid on the playground that talks smacks and gets beat up.
Right, that's right. You're right. They get beat up every day. And then the last thing we'll talk about, two more things. Sorry, Antoine Smith suspended we should have talked about that off the bat, but it's okay. Talking about the Dolphins, Antoine Smith suspended 2 preseason games, 1 regular season game. He ripped off Richie Incognito's helmet and smashed him in the face with it. I think that's suspicious.
To be to be clear, he swung and missed Incognito's face.
Oh, he did? Okay.
By inches. I saw the video, and I was like, oh, my God, that Incognito took a helmet to the face and didn't move.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
It was like something on a Tommy Boy, but actually he missed him. So
I think the three games is not enough. Am I crazy?
He missed him, though. Does that matter at all?
No. I mean, like, it's all fun and games. I mean, like, so is his suspension more if his accuracy is better?
So what about this? According to the PFT, Antonio Smith said, I wasn't trying to hit Incognito.
I was trying to hand him his helmet back.
In a really fast manner.
Yeah.
So he apologized. Antonio Smith did. And look, there's some history between these two. Last year, Smith actually kicked Incognito because Incognito
is the dirtiest player in the league.
And he always seems to get the best of Smith because Smith gets caught. And last year they had a fall. Smith got fined $11,000 for kicking Incognito.
Hey, shout out to Jay Glazer too, because I was watching that Fox show, the new Fox Football Daily or whatever, and he goes, I've got scoop video that's going to get a pretty big name player from a pretty big name AFC team suspended. I think I was like, come on, man, you ain't showing anything that's getting anybody suspended. And then like they showed that, and I was like, oh my God, it was crazier than I expected.
Well, the best part about that video, which is super grainy,
is the ref.
Well, the ref, but before that, Glazer, I'm sure, had his phone set up to the television and just took a video of it and then put it on YouTube. But right, there's an official less than 10 yards away while Antonio Smith is swinging this helmet wildly at Incognito. Maybe he was scared. I don't know why he didn't throw a flag, but I'm confused by how the NFL, he missed it, number one, and why he didn't report that to someone so the NFL would check it out, number two, before Glazer had to report it. But either way, Smith's out for
I'll tell you, Glazer, it's coach's film that he had. It was the end zone coach's film. Some coach saw it and was like, dude, he's like, probably texted Glazer. He's like, dude, did you see this play where?
So he's you're probably right. Do the officials not watch coach's film when they're grading themselves?
Do they not like open their eyes and look forward?
Or just look at what you're doing when you're on the field.
Well, I think – I don't know. You got to remember, like, he reported it on Monday night. So it must have been either somebody from the Dolphins – obviously not somebody from the Texans. Must have been somebody from the Dolphins or somebody from whoever the Texans are playing. Somebody from the AFC South or something like that. Who texted him. I mean, there's a ton of coaches, probably many who like Jay Glazer and probably texted him. And the last thing – anyway, Antoine Smith suspended for a few games. Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, who was reported not – he just wasn't going to come back week one is what Adam Schefter of ESPN reported. Not surprising at all. And now the Boston Herald reports that he might come back week three. Could possibly come back in week one if he wanted to, but the Patriots aren't interested, as they shouldn't be, in forcing the issue.
Yeah, no, that's right. What's the rush? Zach Sudfeld can stay healthy. The latest kind of – Tom Brady does for pass catchers what Mike Shanahan's zone blocking offense does for running backs. Throw anyone out there and just let him get in the way of the ball and catch it. And it usually works out pretty well. So, yeah, don't rush him.
No, I agree. And, the thing that's been lost about Gronk the last few years, first of all, for last year and then the year before when the Giants won the Super Bowl in Indy. Yeah. The last two. Is that right? The last 2 years? Yeah.
Yeah,
Gronk's been missing for either the Super Bowl, or he was missing for the playoffs when the Patriots lost. I think that you could make a case, and I'm not saying it would have happened, but that if Gronk had been healthy, that the Patriots might have at least one more Super Bowl win.
Oh, listen, during the Super Bowl when Tom Brady threw the interception, it was intercepted by whoever the linebacker was for the Giants.
Chase Blackburn.
Yeah, the former.
Gronk. He underthrew.
That was because Gronk couldn't get up and.
That's right. Yeah.
Challenge for the ball. And in the last play of the game, if Gronk had been healthy, you could argue that he makes that catch in the end zone and that ball was batted around two or three times.
And then you add in the fact that, like, not even just those individual plays where Gronk's better, but the totality of Gronk playing a full Super Bowl game, I think makes a big difference. And so if I'm the Patriots, my concern is not with getting Gronk on the field week one at all, it's making sure he is on the field week one of the playoffs.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And quickly before we go, I was just checking Twitter. According to the Denver Post, Von Miller's suspension is not affecting the Broncos as Las Vegas favorites to win the Super Bowl. So, support your point. Still 5-1.
To tie it all, one big happy circle. Yeah, I mean, they play in a crappy division. They have Peyton Manning. They will survive those first couple games. And Las Vegas is not going to drop the odds for this team because Vaughn will be back. It's not like he's out for the season.
Yeah, no, that's right.
All right, so on that note, we are probably out for the rest of the week. We may be back, depending on my wireless in Jacksonville, or if I can creep over to Pete Frisco's house and have an impromptu podcast party there. In the meantime, subscribe via iTunes for Ryan Wells, and I'm Will Brinson. We'll talk to you all soon.